C.S. Lewis, Intellect and Emotion. Anyone who has wrestled with evidence for the Christian faith in the last 80 years owes a debt to C.S. Lewis. As a teenager, I thought Christianity was a faith for the intellectually uncurious, the preferred superstition of less educated Western societies. Reading Lewis shattered that assumption. He was the first example of rigorous intellect combined with sincere devotion to Christ that I had encountered. There have been many since, but Lewis was the tip of the spear that broke through my armor. Lewis' writing was thoughtful but accessible. Unlike some defenders of the faith, he acknowledged the mysteries and paradoxes of Christianity. He was comfortable with the fact that some aspects of God and the world remained beyond human comprehension, and he drew from his own background as a skeptic and atheist to argue for Christianity's validity. And Lewis, unlike some apologists, did not sidestep the really tricky bits, like the intersection of other religions with Christianity, or the paradox of human free will and God's sovereignty. The dilemma that was central to my struggles as a young man, however, was what philosophers call the problem of evil, and Lewis tackled that one as well. How can evil exist in a universe with an all-loving, all-powerful God? Lewis brilliantly turned the problem upside down by asking, how can true goodness exist in a universe without one? Free will, he wrote, though it makes evil possible, is also the only thing that makes possible any love or goodness or joy worth having. Much of contemporary Christianity is plagued by sentimentality, a wishy-washy emotionalism unmoored from critical analysis. Lewis wrote powerfully about his emotions, including the sorrow of death and the surprise of unexpected joy, but he also modeled what a Christian looks like who loves God with his mind. In an age when much of our culture is abandoning the plausibility of Christian faith, we could benefit from more servants like Lewis, who expressed their devotion to God with their heart, mind, soul, and strength. First Kings 3:5-14. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I will now do according to your word. Behold, I will give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Romans 12:1-2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Matthew 22:34-40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." The weekly prayer comes from Soren Kierkegaard. O Lord Jesus Christ, I long to live in your presence, to see your human form and to watch you walking on earth. I do not want to see you through the darkened glass of tradition, nor through the eyes of today's values and prejudices. I want to see you as you were, as you are, and as you always will be. I want to see you as an offense to human pride, as a man of humility, walking amongst the lowliest of men, and yet as the Savior and Redeemer of the human race. Amen. With God Daily is produced by Measure the Clouds Ministries. To support Measure the Clouds, please visit withgoddaily.com.